Our first reading this morning is from Luke 23, chapters or verses 50 to 56. Luke 23, 50 to 56. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one of which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin.
It is so good together, isn't it? And to remember that Christ is risen. Yay! Yes, there, you got it. Well done. We are picking up the story, though. If you were with us at Good Friday, that was a really special time when we took time out to just reflect on the events of that first Easter 2,000 years ago of Jesus going to the cross. And that's kind of where we pick up the story today. Jesus has died on the cross. His friends are scared. They're sad. They're anxious. And verse 50 says that there's a man named Joseph there. He was a religious leader, but he didn't agree with what had happened to Jesus. He didn't agree. And so we're told in verse 51 that he was waiting for the kingdom of God. He was someone who was waiting for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was when God would come to rule. When God would come and everything that is wrong in the world would be made right. This idea of the kingdom of God was what the whole world was longing for. Jesus said he was God's king. Jesus had said this. He said he was the one who was bringing in this amazing age of God's kingdom, this amazing reality. He was the one to bring it in. But now Jesus was dead. And it left his followers and people like Joseph, it left them confused. It left them afraid. But in verse 53, Joseph takes Jesus' body and he puts it in a tomb. Later on, we'll find out that there's this big stone was then rolled across the entrance. And so we're going to kind of recreate that. I'm going to try, and I'm not sure if I can do it because it looks very... Come up and help roll this because I just come on up. If you want to come and help, because I think this is so heavy, I'm going to need a little bit... I can't move it. Come on, look at these muscles. Look at these guys. Come on, guys. Show us your muscles. Okay, let's go. Come on. Oh, go easy. Go easy. Go easy. Go easy. Don't ruin my prop. Okay. Here we go. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Put it over. Don't squash it. Hey. Yeah, you can stand in front of it, Tom. Just. Okay. Oh, thanks, guys. Can we give these guys a clap? Go. You can take a seat. Well done. Okay. No, you just leave it there.
It's made out of pool noodles, everyone.
Shh. It's an actual rock. Don't spoil the surprise. Okay, we're going to leave the rock there. Thanks, guys. I needed those muscles, sort of. Okay, so we've got the big stone rolled over, and we'll come back to that later. Thank you, muscle men. So verse 55, the women had come with Jesus from Galilee. So these women had come, they'd been around with Jesus, they'd been sort of walking around with him in his ministry. They followed Joseph and they saw the tomb, they saw how the body was laid in it and how this big, heavy stone not made out of pool noodles was rolled in front of the tomb to seal it shut. Okay, so try and get yourself into the position, the mindset of these women. Their friend, their king, the one on whom all their hopes were pinned, had been laid in this tomb, was dead. It must have seemed to them like everything was out of control. It must have seemed like everything was out of control. Sometimes it can seem like that for us too, kind of, that everything is out of control, that what you had pinned your hopes on has been taken away from you. Maybe in some ways you feel that now. But this, friends, is why Easter is such beautiful news. and why we can say he is risen indeed with such joy. Because even at the lowest, darkest point, even as Jesus lay dead, and the women went to mourn him, even then, everything was not out of control. Everything was not out of control. Even then, Jesus was the King. Even in this moment of darkness and confusion. We saw that on Good Friday, right? How his death on the cross was actually how he saved his people. It was him coming into his kingdom. And not only that, of course, the story didn't end there. We'll get to that in a moment. But Easter reminds us of this. It reminds us that even when things feel out of control, it reminds us that the Lord is King. The Lord is King. We're going to sing a song about that. It's a great song to remind ourselves that no matter what happens, we can trust Jesus as the King who died and rose again for us.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground, but the dead. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over the hands of the sinners and be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words.
Thanks, Lily. Isn't it great to have kids coming up and reading God's word to us? It's so good. So this group of women had followed Jesus. They were waiting for the next morning. They went to the tomb really early in the morning, but something had happened. Something amazing had happened before they got there. And in order to show this, I'm going to need a few more helpers. Maybe some different ones who won't ruin my prop. So I do need just one helper this time, actually. So we're going to see who hasn't helped me. I think I haven't had you up before, have I, Viv? So come on up. Come on up. Could we give her a hand? Okay. So something incredible had happened before the women even got there. And to kind of show this, I'm going to reveal our big chocolate tomb. Okay. Now, how strong are you, Vivian? It depends who you ask. I reckon you're stronger. One year I did this and I made it so thick that the kids couldn't break it. So that was a bit of a downer. I'm hoping I haven't done that this year. But you might need to use a bit of force because there's quite a few layers of chocolate there. All right? So let's go. Here's your death crusher. Get a few more. Oh. That's a bit hard, isn't it? Actually. Do you want to use the cricket bat instead? Okay. You'll get a bit more purchase with that one. Okay, you ready? Ready? Oi! Go. You almost got it. Again. I did it again. Too strong. Hey! Oh, again. Keep going. Hey! Okay. Wow. Thank you, Vivian. You may take a seat. Okay, look at that. Well, I'm just going to leave that for all the kids to look at for the rest of the service. These women went to the tomb, and before they had got there, this amazing thing had happened. They just went and found an empty tomb. But then two angels, messengers for God, from God, shining like lightning, appeared to her, and they said in verse 5, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." So these women, as they go there and the tomb has sort of burst open, they remember Jesus' words, we're told. They remember what Jesus had said. And you can imagine how stunned they would have been, how excited, how confused, how amazed. They might not have figured it all out yet. I mean, I'm sure they didn't figure it all out yet, but they knew something that would forever change everything about the world had just happened. They knew something of that kind of magnitude had happened. And here's why. Jesus' resurrection wasn't just one person beating death, as amazing as that would be. It wasn't just one person breaking out of a tomb. Jesus' resurrection means that everything he said is true. It means that he is God's living king, come to bring about God's kingdom. And that is really good news because it means he has the power to save everyone who puts their trust in him. Because of his death in our place, he saves us from sin. And because of his resurrection from the dead, he saves us from our death. Now, again, I need a few helpers, as many kids who want to come up to help illustrate this. So I've got my rock here, and okay, I'm going to get rid of this. Yeah, come on up, come on up. If you want to come and help, whoever wants to come up, you can come and help. And oi, get your hands off. Afterwards, you might be able to have one if that's okay by your parents. Okay, so I'm gonna wheel out this, let's get this up front somewhere so it's nice and visible. So here, we've got, could you move that across? That'd be great. All right, I'm going to put it right here. Now, this tomb, this big stone rolled across the front of the tomb, imagine that this is like represents death. And what we're going to see is that Jesus, when he rose, it wasn't just good news for him. It's good news for the whole world because anyone who trusts in Jesus, anyone who's connected to Jesus, will rise with him. He'll pull you through death too. And we're going to illustrate that. Do you want to take the lead, Tom? Okay. So Tom's going to imagine Tom's Jesus, and he's going to burst through death. But he's not going to just do it for himself. Everyone else, grab hold of the rope. You don't need the cricket bat for this one, do you? It's already broken in anyway, so that's all good. So this is what happens, right? So when Jesus bursts through death, it's not just good news for him. It's good news for everyone who's connected to him, who puts their trust in him. And so, guys, when Tom bursts through here, you're all going to follow up. You need to get up, Timothy. I'm sorry. You need to leave the chocolate behind. After you've gone through, you can come back and grab an egg if that's okay with your parents. All right? So should we give a countdown? Ready? You're going to burst through and keep going down to the end. All right? 3, 2, 1, go! Yay! Ah, look at that. It is made of pool noodles. Okay. Well done, guys. Okay. Can we thank the kids? And kids, you can come grab an egg. Quick, come go around and then go back to your seat. Quick, come grab an egg and go back to your seat. Just one. Not the big bit of chocolate. Thanks, Tom. You can have that one. Yeah, go on. Okay, well, a dramatic way, but it speaks of an amazing truth. So if you are trusting in Jesus, he will pull you through death too. And he will give you the same kind of life that he rose again into. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Hallelujah. Because he has risen and everyone who trusts in him will rise too. We have a great hope that is stronger even than death.
Going to have our third reading this morning, when it shows the first reactions to that empty tomb. So Tom Watts is going to come up and read for us this morning.
When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Great work, Tom. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, we can. So when the women got back to the rest of Jesus' followers, they didn't get the welcome that they'd hoped for. So imagine their sort of frame of mind. They come back, this is amazing news. They don't get the reaction they'd hoped for. Notice how there are a couple of different reactions in this reading to this news that the women brought. They race back and share this incredible, world-shattering, life-changing news. But in verse 11, the disciples they went to talk to did not believe them because their words seemed to them like nonsense. This claim that Jesus has risen, that he's risen from the dead, it's nonsense to them. They can't believe it. They know just as well as you and I know that dead people don't rise from the dead. They knew that. They knew that just as well as you and I know that. But dead people don't rise from the dead until they do, and especially until Jesus does. This is a totally unique event because he was a totally unique person. So you've got that one reaction. They just don't believe it. It seems like nonsense. But then in verse 12, there is one guy who responds differently. Did you pick that up as Tom read it out for us? Peter, he hears what happens. And perhaps he remembers what Jesus said, and maybe he has the faintest hope start to kind of an ember start to burn in his chest. But he doesn't stick around and argue about it. What does he do? He kind of gets up, he legs it out the door, he bolts out the door, he runs as fast as he can to the tomb, searching for Jesus, this one who was God's Messiah, who was God's King, who all their hopes had been pinned on. And it's just like the women had said. There's this empty tomb. There's these strips of linen just lying there that had been covering Jesus' body. And Peter goes away amazed, stunned, and kind of wondering to himself what had happened. His mind, his heart, his whole self is sort of full of this amazement, this wonder. It was an incredible discovery these women and Peter made on the first Easter Sunday morning. But what about you on this Easter Sunday morning, 2,000 years later? Maybe there's some here, maybe like that reaction of the first disciples, maybe there's some here for whom you just think this, I mean, you're kind of happy to be here, see some kids burst through a tomb, but this claim that Jesus rose again maybe for you does feel like nonsense, just kind of hard to, unbelievable, an unbelievable claim. Or, on the other hand, maybe direction, it does sort of spark maybe something within you, some kind of hope, some kind of ember of hope in your own heart. Wherever any of us here are coming from, I want to suggest that the key to understanding this and to seeing how this can have a transforming impact on your life. I want to suggest that the key is in this little word in verse 7, this little word must. So if we go back to verse 7, Jesus had said that he must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. He must. See, according to Jesus himself, his death and resurrection, it wasn't just another random event in history. It was the center point of all history. Everything had been building up to this moment. Everything now flows out of this moment. That's the hugeness of this claim. It had to happen. In the big story of the Bible, Jesus' death and resurrection was the fulfillment of God's great loving plan to bring restoration and healing and forgiveness and peace to a broken and rebellious world. He was handed over to sinful people, people who reject God's loving rule, people who insist on running life their own way and not his. In other words, people like you and like me. But in an incredible twist of grace, in allowing himself to be killed by sinners, he was in fact saving sinners. He was saving sinners, taking the penalty that they rightly deserve on himself so they could be forgiven and restored to their Creator. And his resurrection from the dead proved that to be true. Proved that to be true. This historic event that you can look into and interrogate, it proved that to be true, crowning Jesus as the true and eternal King. That's why the news of Jesus' resurrection had Peter sort of bolting out the door, racing to the tomb. That's why this same news can ignite hope and wonder and joy in every human heart, in your heart, even in your heart. Because it was your sin that Jesus took to the cross, and it is your sin that Jesus offers to completely, once and for all, wipe away. It is your death that can be utterly overcome by Jesus' victorious life. Because just as he was raised to new and wonderful life, well, his guarantee, his word is that you too will be pulled through death to the other side, to glorious new life if you are connected to him by faith. And this does transform. This is not just a future hope. It does transform how you live life today. A friend of mine tells a story of a small, quiet, older woman that he used to go to church with. One morning she came into church and she was obviously sort of physically distressed, obviously in pain, sort of limping in. When my friend asked her what was wrong, he was very concerned for her, she just looked up at him with a bit of a twinkle in her eye and a cheeky smile and said, "Oh, it's nothing that a good resurrection can't fix." Isn't that wonderful? See, Jesus' resurrection doesn't ignore or take away the reality of suffering and pain in this world. It actually does something much better. It guarantees a future so bright that whatever you are going through, you can say, "It's nothing a good resurrection won't fix." It means that even in the dark, you can know that the Lord is King and he is going to look after everything. So I want to invite you this morning, and I want to invite our whole church family and visitors, regulars alike, to wonder like Peter did, like those first disciples, to wonder, maybe for the 100th time, but maybe for the first time, to wonder at this risen King, to search for this King like Peter searched, to wonder at this amazing news that Jesus is risen. Because if this is true, everything changes. One way I want to invite you to do that is to just keep coming here over the next couple of Sundays. Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to continue this story. So next week, we're going to look at the next part of Luke 24 and then the week after the last bit. And we get to hear from the risen Jesus himself. And we haven't actually kind of seen him yet in Luke's gospel, the risen Christ. But next week we will. Next week we're going to see how he sets his first disciples' hearts on fire. And then the week after, how he gives them something bright and eternal to live for today. So come along. So I want to invite everyone to come and wonder for yourself, not just about if the resurrection could happen, but what it might mean for the world, what it might mean for Mount Barker, what it might mean for you. Because if Christ is risen, it's unspeakably good news. It's good news for the world. It's good news for our community. It's good news for you. And the amazing news of Easter is that Christ is risen. Let's try it again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.